So every fifth Thursday, we're gonna have a guest speaker come up to youth group. And I already know who all four of them are. Their parents in the church or Christians that have been where you guys were. You know, kids at one time, you got on fire for the Lord and stayed with it. You know, oftentimes you find people that start out, then they're gone, or people that reject it when they're young, and then they end up getting on fire like late in life because they realize, you know, life isn't forever, and you know, there's something that's going to happen called a judgment, and then they get on fire. But the people that I've chosen to come up here and talk with you guys aren't like that. They've stuck with it all their life, and I want them to be a good testimony to you and give you guys a lesson. So we'll talk about that in a second. Let's go ahead. We're going to get started singing, and we'll open up with a word of prayer, and we'll get going here. Ryson, why don't you open us up with a word of prayer? We'll sing a couple, and we'll get going here.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us get it here tonight. Thank you for allowing everyone to get here safely. Bless whoever is doing the service. We're doing a message tonight. Bless Bob tonight with Bible study. In Jesus' name, pray.
All right, turn number one. Oh, worship the King. Oh, worship the King. All right, here we go. Number one, oh, worship the King.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell whose canopy stays, His chariots of wrath, bloody thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Turn to number 27. 27, I sing the mighty power of God. 27. 27, verse 1. Back in Martin Luther's day. Here we go, verse 1.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at His command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with His word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how Thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes Thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from Thy throne. While all that borrows life from Thee is ever in Thy care,
A mighty, mighty, mighty fortress is our God. Amen. This is what I was talking about. Martin Luther himself had a hand in this one back in 1480, 1500. Song over 500 years old. Still good. How about that, man? All right. Like wine, it grows better with age. Here we go. Verse 1.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, He amid the flood of mortal ills.
He prevails over all our hills.
For still our ancient foe doth see to her to the dark is a stain that we cannot hide. Oh, what can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. God's marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sins.
Marvelous,
marvelous, infinite,
matchless
grace, so freely bestowed on all we leave. You that are longing to see His face,
stand the test of time and all the troubles that the world, the flesh, and the devil throw at us. 271. Here we go. Verse 1.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful for I know, while below the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure. I shall not fail, for my aim. billows o'er me roll, tempters seek to lure astray, storms obscure the light of day. But in Christ I can be bold. I'm an anchor that shall hold, and an old anchor holds. Blow your wildest wind, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds. My anchor holds.
All right, good singing, guys. So, as you guys can see tonight, we're doing things a little bit differently. Every fifth Thursday, I'm going to have a guest speaker come up here and speak to you guys, preach to you, whatever they want to do. And tonight, we're going to start with Jim Dereskevich. So, you know, back in the early 19th century or something like that, oh, 20th century, actually, 1900s, you know, there's this big thing with Christians versus evolutionists and stuff like that. And I think Dr. Ruckman was huge on that, you know, how he would go to the Bible and go up against evolutionists and atheists and stuff like that and do these awesome debates and show how the Bible's story of creation trumped out all those things. So we move a little bit further into it, and you get to like the 50s and the 60s and 70s, and you're like this huge space age push. Everyone's about the first man to get to the moon during the Cold War. That was a race, you know, between America and the Russians and stuff like that. Who gets the moon first? It's kind of cool because then Pastor Bob comes out with this thing called Gospel of the Stars, or Gospel of the Stars. And so he looks at the constellations and stuff like that that are way out there and what's happening in the universe and shows you how that even gives a light of the gospel of God. Well, now here we are, and what are we talking about? We kind of went from the thing that has to do with human life, evolution, went from the thing that has to do with outer space and the final frontier, and now we're back to what's inside of us. What happens when we break things down super small and particles and dust and all that stuff like that? We find that there's a totally different world that's invisible to our eye. That's just on the micro scale. And so my friend Jim is going to come up here and he's going to lay that gospel out to you guys. And it's the gospel of the periodic table. So the Bible's all about threes, right? Macro, moral, micro. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jim, for coming and doing this. Thank you for taking your time out. I'm looking forward to what you got. I know these kids will get a blessing from it. So, Alex, go ahead and pray for us, and then Jim, you come and give us what the Lord's giving you.
Lord, just thank you once again for bringing us here safely and just allowing us to just have a church building where we can come and just worship and fellowship together. Amen. Lord, I'd ask that, Lord, you just remove all the distractions and, Lord, from this world, whether it be, Lord, how we look, what people might be here, what people might think of us, and just really focus on what you might have for us as individuals here today. Help us not to take these moments for granted, Lord. We have a lot of brothers and sisters around this nation that don't have churches to go to, that don't have people that truly care about, you know, building their relationship with the Lord. But thank you, Lord, we don't have to worry about that here. But help us not to waste those opportunities.
That's
Lord.
Right.
Help these kids to understand, Lord, honestly, the gravity that they can have and just the influence that they can have in their teachers' lives, their friends' lives, their families' lives, even right now, if they would just discipline themselves. And as the Bible says, Lord, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me.
Amen.
Lord, I ask that you would just put that on their hearts, Lord, just to seek you early now, and Lord, and they can one day be in maybe Jim's position, Lord, when they got right with the Lord at an early age, and they'll be able to be agent and come in and not saying that my brother's old, but just come in and give just the truth, Lord, and give a true testimony of what the Lord can do over a full lifetime of commitment to you and to that book and to just staying true to your Holy Spirit and His guidance, Lord. I just thank you and love you for all you've done for us and given us within this church. Watch over them downstairs and just open up our hearts and minds to receive what you would have for us tonight. In your name we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you, Alex. I'm excited to be here. Some of you I don't know. Some of you I do recognize. So, as Zach said, I'm Jim Dereskevich. I used to pastor a church down in Iowa, Kansas, and God brought us back. I was under Bob's ministry 30-something years. got sent out, and God, through some various circumstances, brought me back, and I'm excited to be back part of his local church. And as Zach has also mentioned, he has four sets of people that he wanted to bring in to speak to you. I was not one of those, but he was desperate because the main person that was supposed to do it tonight couldn't make it. He saw me wandering through the halls, and he just kind of grabbed me, and here's what I came up with. So, I'm glad a mighty force is this God. What I want to talk to you about today, some of the stuff is deep. I think you'll be able to pick up some of this stuff. I'm an engineer by trade. I have two engineering degrees, and I'm not bragging about that. I want to use it for the glory of God, and that's what I want to do. But what I want to show you is I'm going to lay some things out, hopefully present in a way that you can understand it, and you don't know what words will have effect on people. I grew up as a Roman Catholic. I had a strong Roman Catholic family. All my relations were all strong Roman Catholic from Lithuania. And what happened is, they don't do it today, but there was a cartoon when I was growing up, David and Goliath, a claymation. And the beginning of that was they sung that song. And this is regular TV. And Mighty Fortress is His God. As an unsaved boy, I was drawn to that song. And that was my favorite song as an unsaved child. And that song just rang through me, and God used it and was guiding my life. Eventually, I did get saved in college. And so you don't know the impact you'll have on other people. You don't know. Words you say, something you may say, sometime, some people plant, some people water, but it's God that gets the increase. Amen. So many times we're worried about us getting the increase. Your job's to plant. Your job is to sow. And what I'm going to put out today is I'm going to sow some seed. Okay? I'm going to sow the Word of God mixed in with my background as an engineer. So next slide. If we're not really in sync, I have a guy from Alabama hitting the slide for the next slide, so it may be a challenge. I'm from Ohio State, East of Michigan. You know, there's a little bit of friction there. And so it might be a little bit tough.
It's all right.
There you go. So why am I doing this? Just as a background, I have an engineering degree in metallurgical engineering, which is dealing with metals. And I also have a second degree with welding engineer at Honeywell. And again, that's to me, I view that as nothing. It was an opportunity God used in my life to get me saved and then get me to a point where I could use my background to help. Because I got a burden for right now. I see our society being destroyed because evolution. They want to say God over here and science over here. And science is actually better because you have blind faith in God. We have scientific facts. How many people have heard that? And so what they want to do is they want to pit one against the other. And the Bible talks about in 1 Timothy 6:20, science falsely so-called. It's God, the Bible, and science over here.
Amen.
It's the same. You take false science and they mix some truth in it. Because yea, as God said, what the devil does, he'll take truth and he'll mix error with truth to pass it off. And that's what they do in school. And they want to teach it as dogma, as truth. And with a technical background, I can peel all that falsehood back. What I want to give to you is really brag about God here this evening.
Amen.
That's what I want to do. And so, not only that, I'm also an ordained pastor. And what I do in the Bible is I take complexities of the Bible and I want to make it simple. That's what a pastor do. That Bible is so deep. There are so many layers. We look at the truth on the outside of the Bible and we think, okay, it's a boring book. It's because you haven't grown in it. The more you get in the book, you start peeling back layers and layers and layers. What I'm finding, I shared a lot of stuff with Zach. The truth, the deep truth in that Bible, it keeps blowing me away. Even this morning, things I've learned, it just blow me away. How complex and advanced that Bible is above any science that's out there. And I'm going to give you a glimpse of that today. All right? So that's the purpose, is to use the periodic table to teach you guys as Christians how to use it to support your belief and also maybe as a witnessing tool. It's just not to puff up your head with knowledge. What I want to do is give you some of the equipment you need to fight the good fight of faith. That's what I want to do, all right? And God has many hidden things in this world that reveal himself to mankind. And that's why I have the microscope. We're going to deep dive into the things that are unseen. but yet declare the glory of God. Mm. Next slide. So what I have here, I call this the boundaries of our physical world. Most of us operate in this human scale right here. On this size scale, on the right side is macro. That means big. That means large. That's the stars. That's the universe. Here's our human scale. This is what we're used to. I call that gospel in the Bible. You know, that's death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I call over here the gospel in the stars. How many people have ever heard the gospel in the stars? Or heard anybody's ever heard that presentation? I strongly encourage it. The God handiwork's declared in the space. And there's so much going on there. And what you'll find out, there's in the astronomy, there's the gospel in the stars. And there's a segment that I'm adding to it. And I know there's a third part. I just haven't found it yet. I think I do, but I don't know. But this one's the plasma universe. God works through the plasmas in the universe. So I'm still working on that one. But I know there's three parts. God always does multiple three. We'll learn that today. There's three parts here. But now what I want to focus, not the macro, not the human scale. We're going to go on the other side, on the micro scale. The very, very small things. You have, and there's three presentations I have on this. The first one is gospel in your DNA. And that's dealing with a molecular level, amino acids. Now, hopefully in biology and some things in high school, you're familiar with some of this stuff. But when you're starting to deal with the DNA, your DNA is how you communicate with God through photon emissions. I get it. God is light. Makes sense. There's a lot in here that is really awesome. Will help you understand your relationship with God. But you don't have to do that. I'm saying if you really want to get into the scientist point of view, see how that lines up with the Bible. It's incredible. We're going to focus on this middle part, on the atomic or elemental. How many people know what a periodic table is? Good, thank you. I gave this my first time up in Nebraska. And up in Nebraska, a lot of people did know, some did not. But I actually had two guys that were going for their master's in chemistry. And before the presentation, I'm going to keep my eye on you, Jim. I'm going to make sure you say nothing wrong. And so the two guys afterward, I said, did I say anything right? He said, no, you taught me some things. I said, I didn't. It's the Word of God. Amen. It's the Word of God that taught them. But we're going to learn about the gospel. That has to deal with the 118 elements in the periodic table. Don't worry about it. You'll have them all memorized by the end of the night. And then this is one that really blows me away. The gospel on the subatomic particles. A subatomic is, you can break down a proton, neutron, electron. You know what? You learn those are three main parts of an atom, but they actually break down into subatomic parts called the quanti. You have quarks and leptons and all that stuff. And we won't get into that. I'll touch on it maybe a little bit. But I call it the gospel of quantum physics. This is where the physical world is patterned after the spiritual world. And you get into going away from the physical world, and you're kind of meshing the two worlds together. It's an incredible thing. It's an incredible study. It really opens up, I think, your understanding of Romans 1:20. But right now, I just want to give you context of what we're dealing with. We're dealing with very small things, basically the 118 elements that scientists know about. Next slide, please. So again, I mentioned it, but Romans 1:20 is it's a key verse. It says, for the invisible things you cannot see. Okay, invisible. We're looking at things that you need. At my job, being a metallurgical engineer, we work with microscopes. I commonly work with magnifications 2 to 5,000. But I have access to microscopes that go to 500,000 magnification. Scanning electron microscopes, and there are some variations of that. That basically we can see some incredible things with that. And so what I get into is things that are not visible to the normal eye. For the invisible things of him from the creation. So we're going to talk about creation. Guess what the creation is made out of? 118 elements. Okay? From the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power, talking about God's power, and Godhead. A lot of people call that the Trinity. There's three parts, three persons of God, but yet one person. There's three, but yet one. There's three, but yet one. If you don't understand that, as an unsaved Roman Catholic, I just believed it. But I said, how can God be three, but yet one? I mean, that just blew my mind. And even as an unsaved Catholic, I kind of had some blind faith in that. But now I really understand what that means. And hopefully tonight you'll have a better takeaway from that. So that they are without excuse. God said, if you want to learn about me, everything around you, even that you can't see, points to me. Both the physical, you can't see, and what you can't see. Everything in this universe points towards God because He created it. And when God created the universe, He used a perfect pattern Himself. So what you find out is the stars and the universe, the plasma universe, it's all patterned after Him. And you go to the other scale, in a micro scale, everything's patterned after God. And I've told Zach this at work. There's a lot of complicated things I work on. And a lot of times I find parts that other engineers can't find. They said, how do you know that? And I said, as a Christian, I know there's three parts. You guys were only looking at two. And if you know things break down into threes and sevens, a lot of things will clarify your understanding when you get into life. Amen. And that's just believing the Bible. That's all that is. Therefore, you want to look at the structure of anything, you'll find that the structure involves multiples of threes and seven, because that's God. He's a triune God. He's three, but yet one. Next slide, please. So God's structure of the universe breaks down to multiples of threes. Here's what you understand. For time, and these are just some quick things. I can give you probably hundreds of these. Past, present, future. You can't have time with just present and future. Time does not exist unless past, present, and future. One time, right? One time.
Yeah, one time.
But it's three parts to make up one time. Same thing with space. Time, space, there's Einstein. Length, width, and height for three-dimensional space. You can't have just length. Even if you draw a line, there's some depth to it. There's some height to it. There's always three parts of everything in physical space. States of matter, solid, liquid, gas. And I know scientists will say plasma. Yeah, I know. You know what plasma is? It's a gas with a free electron that's not bound. They just kind of subdivided it. No big deal. Atomic structure of matter. Protons, neutrons, electrons. I think most of you know about that, right? All matter is made up of those three. Elementary particles. You know, look, there's six quarks. You know what six is? Three and three. Three types of leptons. Three types of bosons. You see, they're threes, guys. Even when you break down this into smaller structures, they break down to threes. Three forces of nature. Light, electricity, and gravity. Three types of sun, alpha, beta, gamma rays. Color, chrome, value, hue, music, harmony, melody, rhythm. I know I got no rhythm, so I thought that was the only two in my life. Next slide, please. All right, what is a periodic table? Periodic table, I know, is man's invention. I know that. You know, but God will use things to reveal Himself. And it's something man come up with is a collection of taking all these elements and trying to organize in a way that makes sense chemically. All right? So what you find out is it's used to predict 118 elements and their properties that the Lord created. So they organize in a way that predicts the behavior of elements. When I say there are seven periods, we also call them rows. Like this would be the first period. Okay? It has two elements, hydrogen and helium. Okay? And then you have lithium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluoride, neon on the second one. Think of a period like a period at the end of a sentence. Okay? So that's horizontal. Then you have groups. Okay? So it was almost like a map coordinate system. You have groups, or think of them as columns. Okay? There's group one, group two. I guess a little bit more complicated than that, but we'll just stay there. So all those elements, all the way from hydrogen all the way up to unobtainium, made up word, has three parts. So what you find out is you have a nucleus inside, right? So you have this ball, this nucleus. What are the two parts of nucleus? Anybody know? Shout it out. I don't care. Just make sure you're not sleeping.
Proton and neutron?
Yeah, it's up there. Proton and neutrons. Okay? So those two make up your nucleus. What spins around it?
Electrons.
Electrons. So it kind of like, there's your nucleus with these in there, and then you have different electrons, depending on how many, forming all kinds of crazy orbits around there. They call orbitals. Next slide, please. Now, you'll see some fancy stuff. The first element, hydrogen, on a periodic table, it's the only one without a neutron. There are always exceptions to every rule. There's a reason for that. Because guess what? This first element is unique from the other 117. It's a picture of God. It's unique. This does not have a neutron. It has a proton in the middle, an electron on the outside. Okay, so when you see an atomic number 1, you know what that's talking about is the number of protons inside that nucleus. And so what you have here, you have basically a hydrogen symbol. You have how many protons, neutrons, electrons, atomic weight, atomic mass. And these are kind of, you got your shells, subshells, and orbitals. We won't get into that. I know you guys are dying for that, but I'll spare you that, okay? We won't do any electron configuration. Next slide, please. So the next element is helium. So you still have, now you have one proton, one neutron, okay, and two electrons. It's the second one, so it has two electrons. Next slide, please. Then you have carbon. Man's a carbon being, right? So guess how many electrons you have? You have two in this orbit, four in this one, so there are six. And six total neutrons or protons. Next one. I think it's the last one, eight. I'll give you just give you an idea. You're just building to different elements. You're just building number of electrons, protons, and neutrons. That we give names, but they have different chemical properties. But all you're doing is you're building a recipe. You're adding some stuff in the nucleus, and you have to balance it out with a number of electrons. That's how God designed that. So you have eight. Next slide, please. So I don't want to bore you with that. The three things that the periodic table reveal about God, and here's the main thing. We're going to learn about the nature of God. This screams about the nature of God. It screams about His creation, and it actually preaches the gospel. It does all three. So the first one, the nature of God. Let's get into this. Next slide again. Hydrogen, the first element, right? The very first element in the periodic table. It's the simplest of all elements. It's the building block. Every element is built from hydrogen. Even cosmetologists will tell you that the universe is all hydrogen. As it starts to cool, you know, your quarks and leptons and all that starts to change. And what happens is you start forming more protons, more neutrons, electrons, and you get heavier elements as the Big Bang cools off. That's what they say. Or in front of the stars, what's inside of a like the sun is hydrogen and helium, you know, and as you go out, it starts cooling and forms other elements. You have all kinds of variations. But hydrogen is the building block for everything. You know what? And God, everything consists of. He's the building block. And it consists of a gas with one proton and one electron, which orbits the proton. I talked about that already. It's kind of interesting. It reminds me of 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so let your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. God's very simple, but yet he's very complex and deep. He's very simple, but he is very complex and deep. You know what? He likes to explain things very simply to us. Guess what? His periodic table is very simple, but it's very complicated and very deep. It screams God's nature. The only element that does not have a neutron in it, its natural state, is hydrogen. And what I'll get into, I work in a nuclear weapons complex. I make nuclear bombs. We use hydrogen a lot, okay? And we use the isotopes of hydrogen. You know, hydrogen has three forms, but it's one element. You have protium, which is, we call hydrogen, it's called protium. It's just your natural state of one electron, one proton, protium. Then you have a neutron that's added to it in this isotope form, and then we call it deuterium. We add another neutron to it. It's called tritium. Very radioactive. It'll kill you. And if, when I build it, Josh actually started, he's actually welding some of these too. If he messes up a weld with tritium in it, and this nuclear weapon's in the sub, everybody in the sub dies in minutes.
Good job,
no pressure. No pressure. Of course, what he'll say is, Jim, you're the welding engineer. You told me what to do. It's well, it's well. But you killed him. It was your weld. It was your weld. So, but it's three parts, but yet it's one hydrogen. I wonder what that represents. Next slide, please. So what I talked about here is it's one gas. You know what a gas is? Can you see a gas?
No.
Well, how can you believe something if you can't see it? Right? Isn't that what atheists?
I can't believe in a God I can't see.
That's right.
Do you see gas? Do you see the wind? Mm-hmm. No. You see the effects of wind, mm-hmm. but you don't see wind. Do you see hydrogen gas? No. No, you don't. You see the effects of it, yes, but your visible eyes, you cannot see. Okay? Well, we can get into it, and through advanced instrumentation, we can see the fringes on it and detect that's... Yeah. I can get in my Bible and I can detect God indirectly too. Who are you trying to kid, okay? You got different rules? I don't think so. But on hydrogen, you'll find out it's three forms but one gas. H1, hydrogen, protium. H2 is deuterium. H3 is called tritium. Very, very radioactive. And what's kind of interesting is it pictures the Godhead in the church. God the Father is the proton in the center. You have God the Holy Spirit moves around, constantly moving. Picture an electron, okay? Now God the Son, the neutron, when you form the deuterium, when it's dual nature of God the Father, God the Son, sitting right hand the Father, together. But then Christ and the church joined together, we are with Christ. There's that tritium we're talking about. We should be radioactive to the world. Amen. We should not be comfortable with the world. We should be, this is what the effect should be. Amen. This is what we build, okay? So, everybody's worried about Russia and stuff like that. We have some very advanced stuff, all right? So that's the God. It talks about even invisible things, even this eternal power. That's power, folks. Sometimes we don't understand, but you don't understand just a gram of this stuff. A very small fraction, just a small little part in your hand is enough to do that. That's the power we're talking about that God's displaying here. So it's talking about his power and the Godhead. And that's in Ephesians 5, 30-31, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, okay, right here, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his wife, leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, the two neutrons. That's that picture of. This picture of God, and God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, the Son was separated, okay, when he came down to earth, and we're going to be reunited again, but this time we're going to be reunited with Christ up in heaven. It's a picture. I'm kind of going through fast because we have a limited amount of time. But if you have any questions, just raise your hand, okay? If you don't understand it, I'll step back and try to explain a little bit clearer. So I'm from back east, so when I get passionate about something, I start talking fast. So just slow me down. Next slide, please. So more about hydrogen, which is a picture of God. The sun is a star that is composed of hydrogen in the plasma state. In other words, plasma is just a gas state with a loose electron. Malachi 4:2, but unto you that fear my name shall the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness arise with healing his wings, and ye shall go forth. So Jesus Christ is likened to the sun. And guess what the suns in the universe are made out of?
Hydrogen.
Coincidence, of course. You know, hydrogen is colorless, odorless, tasteless, but highly combustible. If you had regular hydrogen in that was released, you couldn't smell it, you couldn't taste it. There's no color to it. How do you know it's there? When it blows up, you know. Anybody hear the Hindenburg?
Yeah.
The dirigible? Boom! A lot of people died on a dirigible they thought was very safe. You know, and they start making this big balloon that carries you around full of hydrogen. Not a good idea. Oh, a spark. Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. consuming fire. It's a picture of the hydrogen. Hydrogen typically is a non-toxic, but it can be toxic in one condition, the tritium isotope. That one isotope, the second isotope, deuterium, is not, but the third one is. And 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He wants man to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But there's a day when you reject his son, you'll see the combustible part of God, the great white throne judgment. Next slide, please. There's a lot on hydrogen. All elements of the physical universe exist because of hydrogen. Look at Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The Bible just screams hydrogen. You probably didn't know that, did you? You're going to see it from a different perspective. Hydrogen is the most abundant substance in our known universe. They says between, now, here's something God showed me. This is kind of funny. They says between 65 and 75, I will help the scientists out, okay? Humble Jim will help them out. I say it's about two-thirds. You know why? Two-thirds is in between those two, right? And it's 66%. Not only 66 books in your Bible, but that means you're missing a third of matter. That's not hydrogen. Gee, Revelation 12:4, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to be devoured of her children as soon as it was born. Those are the third of the fallen angels that rebelled against God. You know, God said, what's part of me is 66%. A third is not. A third is not. I tell you, just hydrogen will preach, guys. It'll preach by itself. It'll preach by itself. Do you understand about that part of the prophecy in the tribulation period? Okay.
They're alive.
Okay. I think the last slide next slide. The properties of hydrogen do not completely match any group in the periodic table. The thing is, this is so funny, as a metallurgical engineer or materials engineer, hydrogen blows these engineers away, and these chemists. They don't know how to handle it. Hydrogen's a freak element. They don't know how to handle it. Unsaved people do not know how to handle God.
That's right.
And what they're saying is, we think it's in one position, and there's a big debate. Even today, there's a debate on which of three groups the one element should be. It's three, but yet one.
Amen.
And they say, well, it should be part... do I have the periodic table? Let's go to the next slide, I think.
Your shirt.
Yeah. It's my birthday yesterday. My wife gave me that. So you got to know my wife. And what it's saying is, you have the alkali metals right here. And this is where it's traditionally put, but you notice there's a gap here. There's a gap because it doesn't... these are all linked together because they're saying, well, we're not sure it belongs there. It's the alkali. And some say because hydrogen is supposed to have one outer electron, and it does, but it doesn't have any of these properties. Okay? So they thought it belonged to that group. Some people believe it's in the halogens right here, where it's one short of the outer electron, but yet it doesn't behave anything like these elements. And some say, well, it behaves like these elements, carbon. Carbon family. So is it the alkali, is it the carbon, or is it the gas ones, like the Holy Spirit, like Jesus Christ, like God the Father? They don't know. They don't know. I love it. I laugh at them. Back to the previous slide, please. So, since it's group one, the alkali, since it has one electron in the outer shell, they call it valence electron, they said hydrogen has that, but hydrogen is clearly not a metal. Everything else is. But it's a gas. And a poor conductor of heat and electricity like a metal is. Everything else in that column is a metal. Hydrogen looks like a metal, but it's not. Okay? Then you have the carbon family, the Son of God. That, since its electronegativity is halfway between the smallest and the largest. And kind of like the smallest, it's kind of like the largest, it's kind of in between. So it could be classified as a semi-metal. It's not a metal, but it's not a semi-metal. Or it's not a non-metal. They don't know what to do with hydrogen. Or it's the halogen family type of God, the Father. Since it's one short of a complete outer electron shell, and it can exist as a diatomic gas, like fluorine, chlorine, gas, things like that. If you add one more electron to it, it becomes a knowable gas. We'll get into that. Like a halogen, but it acts strongly with oxygen. Everybody else in there doesn't react with oxygen. You'll find out that's a picture of Jesus Christ. See, all these exceptions of hydrogen ties in with the Bible. Next slide, please. Just tell me how I'm doing on time.
You're doing fine.
Okay. Now, what's kind of interesting, I won't spend much time on it, but the periodic table, there's really two different systems that they group all these elements in. There's the older IUPAC system, International Union of Pure Applied and Applied Chemistry system. It uses Roman numerals and letters, numbers and letters to differentiate between the two groups. And I'll show you that in a little bit because it does mean something. And that's the older system, and that's, I actually like this older system. But the modern system uses Arabic numbers 1 to 18, 666, for the columns of the periodic table. You know what's kind of interesting? It lines up the two lines of manuscripts in the book of Acts. That from the old line of Antioch, Syria, the Authorized King James Bible, or the other corrupt lines from Alexandria, Egypt, the modern translations. If I had time to develop that, I would, but I'm just throwing that out for right now. There's a lot to what I just said that slide right there. But even how they constructed, yes, I know, man constructed it. Just like man wrote the Bible, but they were moved as they spake and was written down by God. Man put together a periodic table, but you know what? I think God's hand was behind some of that. It really, really was. Next slide, please. Now, that talks about it. The periodic table, the first element, hydrogen, declares God's who he is. Okay? Now, the second thing of the periodic table, what they reveal about God, is his creation. Okay, now brace yourself. I'm going to show you some cool stuff. God just keeps giving me this stuff, so I'm keep maturing this. This is really, really cool. The periodic table, I told you, it's a bunch of periods. Okay, periods going across. There's seven, right? So if it's not aligned with God's creation, how many days in creation?
Seven
days of creation, right? And then you have columns. We're going with it by the old Roman numeral system. So you have like 1A, and then there's 2A. Then you start having 3A, 4A, 5A, 6A, 7A. And then they go back to zero. You know what God counts? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And it goes back to zero in counting. This is called the noble gases. You'll find out why. Not why they called it, why that fits in the Bible. But there's all kind of these, why is it broken up like this? It's kind of weird. You know why it's broken up this way? It lines up with God's days of creation. And they don't even know it. First slide, please. Or next slide. So, let's look at the period number one. Okay? So what we'll look at is, it not only lines up, there's seven periods. There's seven periods and seven columns. So we're going to be looking at the first period and the first column, okay? We're looking at some cool stuff. So this is column 1A, and here's 1B. Now, why did they do that? You'll find out there's A's and B's. We won't get into that. But let's go back to the first day of creation, all right? It says, and the earth was without form and void, and God, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Period 1 contains hydrogen. We talked about that's a picture of God, right? Hydrogen moves between groups 1, 4, and 7. So it's moving across those three phases. And hydrogen needed is needed to make water, H2O. So one thing I want you to understand, when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, for God to move, it needs oxygen And you'll find out the importance of oxygen here in a little bit to make H2O. So God's associated with the waters in this verse. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Period 1 contains helium, right here. And that period 1 going across contains helium. Helium is a picture of Christ, which is seated next to the hydrogen. Look at this. You ever wonder why this is seated by itself, this huge gap? The only other element seated next to it, picture God the Father, picture God the Son. They're seated next to each other. And his mission is to heal, heal man's sin. And he's called the true light in John 1:9. Group 1B, what you find out, contains gold. Here's 1B. Here's 1A. Here's 1B, contains gold. Gold found over 400 times in the Bible. It's associated with what?
Deity.
Deity, right? And then you find out in group 1A, you find sodium. When sodium is exposed to water, it burns and gives off light. So you find out, you got all the elements here in the first day of creation. And what's kind of interesting is verse 4 and 5, and God said, saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning was the first day. You know, each group of elements have two parts, group A and B, the evening and the morning. Everyone, they don't know why they broke up 1A, 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B, or not to be, 3A, 3B, and goes, not A and B. I got some little humor in here. Some of the stuff you can go, oh, Jim, that's just too much to learn. So I got to throw some puns. Next slide, please. The second day of creation, Genesis 1:6, and God said, let there be a firmament. In other words, an expanse in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. You have waters on the bottom, waters on the top, and you have an expanse called, we call space. Now, period 2 contains a gap between 2A and the transition elements. Here's the expanse right here. There's another gap. Not only do you have this gap here, you got another gap here that it's talking about. And group 2 contains oxygen. And oxygen, which is the third most abundant element in the universe, and you'll find out, I'll lay out more detail, it's a picture of Jesus Christ. 8 is the number of what? New beginnings. 1 Peter 3:20 says, Noah's eighth saved in the... There's 8 people saved in the ark. The ark's a type of the Christ. The doors on the side with the blood and the water came out, just like the crucifixion. Oxygen is in the blood, is carried by the red blood cells from the lungs. Let me kind of say that a little bit slower, okay? So Noah, he's the eighth saved in the ark. Ark's a type of the Christ, okay? And it has a door on the side. And you'll find out, just like Christ was pierced in the side on Calvary, what came out? Water and blood, right? Water and blood came out of Calvary. And it's tied to oxygen. What I'm saying is with that blood, your oxygen in the blood is carried by the red blood cells from the lungs, where the air, type of the Holy Spirit. Leviticus 17:11, for life the flesh is in the blood. Luke 2:21 says, when 8 days were accomplished for their circumcision, that's when the child was called Jesus, which is the incarnate word, John 1:1. Water, I talked about, is denoted H2O. Now, this is kind of interesting. H2O, water, encompasses everything. Two oxygens, first element. Oxygen's eighth element. 1 + 1 + 8, 118. That's how many elements in this whole table. The whole thing revolves around Jesus Christ. What's kind of interesting is the shortest Psalms in your Bible is Psalms 117. That's the Alpha. The longest Psalms is 118:8. Exactly, it's in the middle of your Bible. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. Kind of interesting, there's 118 elements in the periodic table. Covers the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus Christ says in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Psalms 119 is the longest psalm. The shortest and the longest. What's in between, the middle of the Bible? 118. Picture of Jesus Christ. You'll find a lot of these little coincidental things in here. Next slide, please. The third day of creation. What you'll find out, it says in Genesis 1:1, and God said, not 1:1, I got that wrong. 1:1 something.
7 maybe?
Yeah, I think that's a mistype. And I'll read it. Zach's going to find it. This is a test for him. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs yielding their seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after their kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so.
Just missed 1:1. It's 1:11.
1:11. Okay. Scribble here, guys.
There you go.
1,000 pardons. So period 3 is right here. And if you see, I circled what I want you to see. These elements here. Is sodium. Sodium, which is 3.5% of our oceans, is covered, 97% of all water, their surface, contains sodium. And what you find out in period 3 contains magnesium also. This one right here, magnesium, which is a vital element to make plants, to make chlorophyll. It consists of essential magnesium atoms surrounded by nitrogen, containing a ring structure attached to a ring structure, a long carbon hydrogen chain. That's chlorophyll, okay? If you want to get technical about it. But you don't get chlorophyll without the central core to make chlorophyll, which is magnesium. So it's tied to your green things, your herbs and fruit. Also, period 3 contains an L shape. See these L shaped? S-O-N. See that? Sulfur, oxygen, nitrogen. That's very famous when you deal with chemists. It's a famous, they call it the L-shaped elements. What's kind of interesting with those L-shaped elements, the sun, it spells sun, right? It shows up the two different types of sun, the true sun and the false sun. The true sun's Jesus Christ, and it deals with two types of seed. We're dealing with seed here in 111. And it says in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, Jesus Christ. It talking about, this is God talking to the serpent here. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So you're talking about the sun dealing with seed. The L-shaped primary. What's kind of interesting is the first son is Jesus Christ that this is prophesied against. Now, the L-shape, the primary title for God in the Bible is El, meaning the strong one. There's 5 primary names used for God. El, El, Ella, Allah, Eloh, and Elohim. Okay? It's all El. It's all El. Just a coincidence, of course. And there's 6 compound names for God used in the word El. El, El, Yan, El, Lam, Elashadi, Elashadiah, Elashadiah, Elohim. Okay, I'll just kind of go through that. You guys get the gist of it. And so, what's kind of that it's a picture of the true sun. But kind of interesting, it also includes argon. Argon. Argon, which is the 18th element. 18 is what? 666. Okay? Adds up to 18. So there's something probably bad about argon. Revelation 13, Rebellion 18. The number of the beast is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666. Talking about the Antichrist. Somehow argon's tied to the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, and we're gone.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. We're gone. Yeah, yeah. When this argon is, it's going to be ruling the earth. All right? Next slide. Well, back up. Let me see something here. Oh, yeah. Okay, here's a side note. Something I put together this morning. The Son of God is connected with salt. Are we not supposed to be salt of the world? Mm-hmm. See, salt? Connected with salt. and nitrogen and oxygen is a picture of Jesus Christ. And nitrogen is tied to the church, you'll see. The son of perdition is connected with sulfur, argon with sulfur, which is brimstone. Just a coincidence, guys. Just a coincidence. Next slide, please. Day four. Genesis 1:16, and God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. So you'll find out, Jesus shows up on the fourth day, or after the fourth day. And what you find out in 2 Peter 3:8 is to bring light to the world. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Malachi 4:2, we talk about the Son of Righteousness. And what you find out is on period 4 also pertains potassium, K. It's the 19th element. Potassium reacts very vigorously with water to form hydrogen gas, and it gives off a very extremely bright light. Just like the light that's occurring on the fourth day. And astronomers claim that most of the potassium found in the universe came from a supernova, whether this is true or not. This is what they claim. Explosion when the shell of the large star explodes and oxygen undergoes nuclear fusion to make potassium. So, I mean, that's... Now, I'm not talking about the Big Bang. I'm talking about right now, things are exploding out in the universe because we're still in a state of decay. Also on this fourth period is vanadium. It's the 23rd element. You know, this kind of interesting. Discovered in 1801 by Andries. Andries means warrior. Okay? Manuel, his middle nickname is Manuel, means God is with us. Del Rio means of the river. Just like Jesus Christ showing up to begin his ministry in the River Jordan. Even the man that discovered this element proclaims this with that son of righteousness with healing in his wings. You know, man has 23 chromosomes which determine the gender. The male is attached to the X, makes it a male with the X chromosome. And what's kind of interesting, Jesus, called the Son of Righteousness, was God. Hebrew name is Yahweh, as well as a man who died on the cross. So it deals with your chromosomes, too. Next, just like the element 23, with the 23 chromosomes. Day number 5. No, that's okay. Is the fifth day of creation. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures of life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. So life occurs on the fifth day. So what we're talking about is life versus death. Life versus death. So period number 5 contains, you'll find out, contains silver. The letter AG, which is the price of redemption in the Bible. Due to the sin death. 5's number of death. It's the fifth period, number of death. But we have, you know what, someone that came to heal that price of redemption is silver. And I think I won't go through all the 5 is number of death in the Bible. Cain killed Abel in Genesis 5:5. David kills Goliath with 5 stones. I guess I am going to go through it. There are 5 eyes in Lucifer in Isaiah 14:13. In the 5th book of the New Testament, Ananias dies in Acts 5:5. 5 letters in death, grave, mayday, SOS, distress call. So 5 is death, okay? And who came to redeem us from the death?
Jesus
Christ. And it was how many pieces of silver?
30
pieces of silver. Period 5 contains another element called tin, which is spelled, because a lot of this is the Latin names for these, abbreviation SN for tin. So tin is denoted SN, which is the 50th element. 50th. You combine SN with tin, you get sin. Wild coincidence. Of course, you start bringing all these wild coincidences, they just don't add up sometimes. Next slide, please. 6-day creation. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created to him, male and female created to him. Period 6, you find out, starts out with gold. Gold, which again is associated with what? Deity. In over 400 places. You know, this is a wild study, but you start studying out, Adam is made out of what?
Red dirt.
Yeah. Red clay. And let me give you a little hint. It's an incredible study. That red dirt, red clay, wasn't anywhere. It was found over the place that was abundant in gold. He was made from golden clay. And he had a golden body. And you look at gold in the Bible, it doesn't tarnish, a beautiful conductor of electricity. And you had something about the nature of Adam before his fell that was totally different. So he had this, Adam and Eve had this golden sheen to them. Okay, there's something different about that. And I won't get into it, I'll just touch on it right there. But he's a golden image. You know what the Oscars, what they do? They have the golden, I don't watch these things. Golden Globe or Golden Oscars with a little golden man. You know, that's the world's imitation of the Adam, the true Adam, before his fallen state. Satan always wants to mock that. He always wants to counterfeit that. And that's what that, Hollywood, that's what they're doing. The city of stars, okay? They want to worship this little golden image. Oh, I got it! Oh, I'm so happy! No, you're full. If they don't punch each other. The sixth element is also, and the sixth element is under the sixth column is carbon. Or no, sixth column right here is carbon. Man is a carbon-based from created on the sixth day. We saw in Revelation 13:18, number man, 666. Atomic weight of carbon is 12.01. Say, Jim, why in the world are you boring us with these little factoids? The weight of carbon, 12.01? What's so significant about that? You know, in Matthew 18, 666, verse 11 through 14, Jesus told the 12 disciples about the parable of the lost sheep. Lost 1 out of 100. You know what's 1 out of 100? 1 divided by 100 is 0.01. With the 12 disciples, you had those together, it's 12.01. They're told to go, the 12 are told to go out and find that lost sheep. And it's kind of just interesting that it adds up to 12.01. Group 6 contains oxygen, which is again associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Being born again is how we restore that lost image that Adam had. And the sixth group also contains sulfur. And sulfur is associated with fire and brimstone, we talked about. You know what's kind of interesting? And I saw this yesterday. I didn't realize this. But Adam had a golden, shiny image, right? You know what sulfur is? It's a tarnished yellow image. There's a tarnish to take it off when you follow Satan. Yes. God's way is bright and shiny. Yeah. Even though Satan's way may sound and look bright and shiny, okay? But it's a counterfeit of the real thing.
Amen.
Adam had that fellowship with God. He was a glowing golden image. He was giving off that bright light, walking in the light, as he's in the light, fellowshipping with God daily in the garden. He lost that. And what Satan wants to give you is this dull yellow finish. That's what sulfur is. It's a counterfeit. Let's go on. Seventh day is the last day, the seventh day of creation. And the seventh day, God ended his works, which he had made, and rested on the seventh day. And when you look at the seventh element, the last element of the periodic table, he ended his work. So 118, it's Og, which is the last of the noble gases. These are noble gases. Column 0, noble gases. They don't react with anything. It's Og. And 7 is number of completion. And what's kind of interesting is God's rested in the noble. The last one, 118, is done. We call it the noble gases. They don't react. Next slide, please. I went through that one quick because I want to get through this, his gospel, last section. Okay, and this will take 5 minutes and we'll be done. Okay, so how does God reveal himself? The third way is through his gospel, through the periodic table. Next slide. So the good news, his story. This is God's story that unfolds in the first 10 elements. There's a gospel in the first 10 elements. The first element's hydrogen. In the beginning, God. The Godhead was active in creation. It was God. He split himself up to deal with sin when it entered the universe through Lucifer. But it was God that created the heaven and earth. And that's the first element we talked about. Earth was out form and void. Because between hydrogen and helium, you find that gap. Remember hydrogen on the other side of the periodic table? You have helium. There's a huge gap. There's your gap in Genesis 1-2. And hydrogen is unique. It's only one proton, God the Father, and one electron, Holy Spirit. But God the Son comes in later when hydrogen binds with oxygen to form water. Picture the Word. The living Word, like in the water. That's the first day. You know, the first day, God was there. He created everything, but something came and divided it. Now the second day of his story deals with helium. Helium is also a type of Jesus Christ. He's seated to the right hand of God the Father across that gap. He says, here, Father, pick me. Let me deal with a sin problem. So Jesus had to temporarily separate himself. Two is the number of division. It's the second element. From the Godhead in order to deal with God's fallen creation due to what Lucifer did. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But he separated, yes, to deal with our sin. That's what he did. Jesus sent to heal God's fallen creation. Helium. Helium. That second element even speaks of what the mission is. His job, helium, the element helium, is to heal our sin. Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Helium is for healing. Next slide. Lithium. Satan rebelled in Genesis 3, 2 through 4. That's the big lie. Lithium. It's abbreviated L-I, lie. Okay? The big lie. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. That's the big lie in Genesis 3:15, or Genesis 3, 2 through 4. And that's told by the third element. And Genesis 3, dealing with lithium, the big lie.
Bone screams.
What's that?
Bone screams.
Oh. There we go. And the fourth element, beryllium. After the big lie, you have dispensation of consciousness, which is the law in the heart. And the law that was written down with Moses in the mountain that you must now bear, okay? Mm-hmm. Because of man's sin, you have to bear the element. You got beryllium. Beryllium, okay? You have to bear that. Man must now bear the burdens obeying their conscience or the physical law. Amen. Nor to restore that fellowship with God. Next slide. Fifth element, boron. The biggest lie brought death. What Satan brought, he brought death. Romans 5:12, the number of death. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And basically, Adam and Eve disobedience brought death, the number of five. God's solution was to send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be, not just bear, but to be sin for us who know no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Lord Jesus Christ bore our sin that we can be born again. 1 Peter 1:23 talks about being born again, not a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abides forever. And 1 Corinthians 15:49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. There's boron. Now the sixth element, carbon. It's the sixth element, and it's the number of man. We saw that multiple times. Carbon has atomic number 12.01. I already talked about this. Our mission is to go to lost sheep. Okay, once man, once he bears our sins, we get saved. Our mission is to go to lost sheep and seek those that are lost. The disciples were supposed to take the gospel, the good news, to the whole house of Israel, but Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. That was what us carbon beings were supposed to be doing. Next slide, please. Number 7. So then comes nitrogen, the seventh element. Nitrogen. In the Bible, the night's associated with the church age, is it not? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm going really fast. Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. So you know what God turns toward? The church age now, the Gentiles, to take the good news to the world. The Jews refused to go to the lost sheep, okay? So now he's turning to us. And the largest component of air, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit, is nitrogen, 78%. You know, air or wind in the Bible pictures the Holy Spirit of God, who's the predominant part of the Godhead dealing with the church age. And even at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in and gave the church life, it all goes, it's in the night, Trojan. That's when it occurs, in the night. Because Israel rejected the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. The eighth element. We already saw the eighth element associated with oxygen. Our eighth element is oxygen associated with the Lord Jesus Christ in H2O. We need oxygen in our blood. We need Christ in our blood. We need God's blood.
Amen.
Brought in by the air through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, for us to be in fellowship and have life. Okay, that's the only way you're going to do it. It's through God's blood, not animal's blood.
Amen.
We need God's blood. We need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that is the only way, according to John 14:6. When Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's the world is the word is truth, and the Bible is complete now after Pentecost. It's complete now. He's the I am. And of course, it's a fancy one, all the different I ams he is, spelling that out.
Amen.
And that's a picture of your lungs, bringing in the oxygen. Next slide. Number 9. Two more. Fluorine. After the element of nitrogen, the Pentecost is passed, and oxygen, the Bible is complete. God expects us to walk in the Spirit and grow in His Word.
Amen.
That's our job as a Christian. Fluorine is the ninth element. It should picture something like that. 9 is the number of fruit bearing. Galatians 5:22-23. There are 9 fruit of the Spirit. That's what a Christian ought to possess. And fluorite, it's interesting, is fluorine, which is fluorine, contained in a mineral that is mixed with a rock. Okay? And when you take the fluorine gas and you mix it with a rock, a picture of Jesus Christ, it becomes a flux or a cleansing agent. We're here to cleanse.
Amen.
Not only ourselves, but we're supposed to be the salt of the world, the light of the world. We're supposed to bring a cleansing to the world. When the world's getting more and more corrupt. Our job as Christians, we're not doing that.
Amen.
And it starts with you guys as a youth.
Amen.
We think, I'm too young. You're not too young. You know what? You don't know the impact you have. And sometimes it's just a word or just being with somebody when they're going through a tough time. And having the hope that's inside of you and communicating that to somebody else.
Amen.
But you want to be that fluorine mixed with a rock in fellowship with a rock and be a cleansing agent in your skull. Fluorine is the most reactive oxidizing element in the periodic table. This element is not found in its free natural state. It reacts very violently with organic matter. Wood, hay, stubble. See, at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to react and all your stuff built in the organic matter world done in the flesh. It's going to be violently burnt up in 1 Corinthians 3, wood, hay, and stubble. And finally, the tenth element, neon. Neon is part of the noble gas, inert. In other words, it doesn't react with anything. It's found in group 0 after group 7, new beginning. God's counting system goes through 1 through 7, starts over. And after 6,000 years of man history, God begins his 1,000 years of millennial reign. And that's this group here, the Noble Gas. After that, God's eternal day begins where he left off before the fall of Genesis. You'll find out Christians are now our nobility, guys. We are children of the King.
Amen.
And sometimes I think we lose sight of that. You're a child of the King.
Amen.
If you're saved here this morning, you're a prince. You're a child of a king, even though it does not appear what we shall be. And during this time period, we are inert from sin forever.
Amen.
We are in a noble, inert state. Sin has no bearing on us. We will have constant fellowship with God up in heaven. Whether we'll be clothed or naked is another issue.
Amen.
That, my friend, is the good news of the periodic table.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of information. What I gave you, I normally take, I guess, time's out. See, that guy's from Alabama. Leave.
There you go, son. Boom.
Now, what I normally, and I know I went very, very fast. I normally do this in 2 hours. So, even though I talk fast, I try to condense it down a little bit to 1 hour. But hopefully, you got something out of it. And what I wanted to show you is there's a lot of stuff that God reveals, even on the subatomic scale. So when you go through school, you don't have to go through your attitude like, this is boring, this is stupid, I hate chemistry, I hate this, I hate that. You know what? When you have that attitude, you want to close off that learning. Sometimes you learn, you're closing down that access God can teach you.
Amen.
And use you in the ministry. I'm not saying be a straight-A student, but you know what? Sometimes when we study some of these things out, it may have some huge ramifications down the line. So now if you take additional chemistry courses, when you study this stuff out, you know, there's a lot more layers of complexity to this stuff. What you'll find out is it can be pretty exciting in studying it.
Amen.
It really, really can, because you can learn a lot about God and what God's doing. Any questions? All right, thank you.
All right, guys, let's pray and let's get out of here. Lord, thank you so much for Jim tonight. I just love on what he touched on at the end there. Everything that we learn in life, you can use for your honor and your glory.
Amen.
Everything that we come across, God, you can get the glory out of it. So help us just to have that willing heart and mind, Lord. And you said that's what it's going to be accepted according to what a man has, Lord. And I pray and ask that these kids will realize that, not let the time that they spend in class or learning in books go to waste, Lord, but help them to take those things that they learn and use it for your honor and glory. We trust that you'll do this. Thank you for Jim, the time he spent studying and learning, letting you pour the stuff into him that we can benefit from today. Your son, Jesus Christ, name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, up here.
I feel like they're...
attentive, man. You probably need some more feedback from him, but that's almost
all right.
That's
normal.
Yeah.
Thank you.